Hello, this is Elvira, and I welcome you to the Fruit Factory. We are a prophecy and teaching ministry that is helmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I am Elvira, a worker on his field. I welcome you to this platform. And this ministry is a call to true Israel and the church. The end times church. It is time for harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet, and only the fruitful will make it. I would like to emphasize on the fact that when I talk about true Israel, I am not talking about those people who call themselves Jews. I am talking about the Israel that was sent out to different parts of the world, scattered by the Lord himself because of their disobedience to his word and his statutes, because of their rejection and crucifixion of the Messiah, and so much more. This Israel is part of Africa, the black population of America, all of the black populations of the Caribbean islands, parts of Central and Southern America as well, the black Indians, and other people, other small tribes around the world. True Israel is on every single continent in this world, and they come in many different colors and shades. If you want to know what the Lord thinks about the current people who call themselves Jews, you can read Revelation 2, verse 9, and Revelation 3, verse 9. I just always want to make that little disclaimer in the beginning of our broadcast, because it is important that people know what we are talking about and who we are talking to. In today's prophecy, I am going to be talking about the new families of Israel. This is a dream that the Lord gave me about the regathered in Israel. It is actually a series of dreams that he gave me on the same day, August 12th, 2024. And this is one of them that I am sharing with you right now, and God willing, I am going to be recording all of the others right after this, so you should look out for those also. The Lord is taking us into the future here. He wants us to know what awaits ahead. He wants us to be preparing ourselves for what is to come. And that is exactly why prophecy exists. Prophecy exists so that the Lord can say that he proclaimed something and it came to pass, so that his children and the entire world will know that there is a God, that there is a God who knows the end from the beginning. He sets the end first and then rolls it back and operates in the present, until little by little you will see that end come to pass. This is how our Lord is. The coming of the Messiah was prophesied in the Garden of Eden. Thousands of years before that, he had already set the end from the beginning. This is the God we serve. So him giving us these revelations and these prophecies about the regathered Israel, this is after the tribulation. He told me that 5% will survive. Today I was in prayer and I was praying about this number that he gave me, 5%. And I was like, surely, Father, we can work hard and maybe a bit more of us will make it in the end. And he said, no, it's going to be 5%. My remnant is 5%. And he said, little by little, you will begin to understand why. The people are not ready. They don't even care. Half of them are not even human. Half of them are not even human. They are either clones or hybrids. So, yes, listen. The Lord is showing us the future so that we, the remnant, can know what is ahead. And so that as it comes to pass, no one will be able to say someone else did it. No one will be able to say that it was a political movement, that it was a political leader who did it. But the Lord will be given his due praise for having fulfilled the words that he spoke. This is why prophecy exists. And he talked about it, actually, in Isaiah. He told this to Isaiah, that Isaiah should proclaim this to Israel. Isaiah 48, verses 1 to 8, says the following. Listen to this, you descendants of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and come from the line of Judah, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. You who call yourselves citizens of the holy city and claim to rely on the God of Israel, the Lord Almighty is his name. I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted and they came to pass. For I knew how stubborn you were. Your neck muscles were iron. Your forehead was bronze. Therefore I told you these things long ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you, so that you could not say, my images brought them about. My wooden image and metal god ordained them. You have heard these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? From now on, I will tell you of new things. Hallelujah. Of hidden things unknown to you. Amen. They are created now and not long ago. You have not heard of them before today. No, we have not, Yahweh. We have not. So you cannot say, yes, I knew them. You have neither heard nor understood. From of old, your ears have not been open. Well, do I know how treacherous you are? You were called a rebel from birth. This is what the Lord has to say. This is why he tells things beforehand. Because he knows his people. He knows the hardness, right? The iron neck, the bronze forehead. It means that it is hard. You hit it and it's hard, hardened. So that's why he tells things in advance, so that when they come to pass, we will not be able to say, well, we knew it was going to happen. No, you didn't. These prophecies that the Lord has given me, I have been in awe. I have been shocked. And I have been grateful, is not even the word. The honor of being revealed these things, and to have that commission of being the one to proclaim it, the amount of grace, the amount of favor, the amount of, I just feel unworthy, basically. I'm going to say it. I feel unworthy of all of this. That is why I do not go to sleep without doing everything the Lord asked me to, because let's go into the prophecy. So this prophecy is titled The New Families of Israel. And I received this prophecy from the Lord Jesus Christ during the midday of August 12th. The Lord simply told me that he had something to show me. And usually when he says that, I know that this is something that will need a stillness in my spirit. This is not something that he's going to show me if I'm in the middle of something or even if I am distracted. Because sometimes I get open-eyed visions. I don't need to be asleep. I don't need to be still. I don't need... He just puts it there in my eyes to see. But then when he says specifically, I have something to show you, I know that, okay, I need to find a place to lay down, lay back, close my eyes and be still so that the Lord can show me what he desires for me to see. And this is what happened here. It doesn't mean that it's not being asleep, it's just being still and calm, right? So that you can see all the details that the Lord has to show. So this is what happened here. And so I laid down, it was around midday. I laid down and I closed my eyes and this is what I saw. I saw a couple, a man and a woman. The woman was of Israelite blood. She was part of one of the 12 tribes. And the man did not have Israelite blood, but he was part of the true church of Jesus Christ. So he was a devoted and zealous believer in Christ. And they were legally married. They were married. This was a couple. They were on a flat platform that had no roof or building around it. It was like an open space. Yet it had the look and feel of a courtroom. The lighting in this place, in this room, because it looked like a courtroom, but just that there were no walls and there was nothing around it. It was just a flat platform. And the lighting here was like that of a sunset. And the sunset lighting could be seen from behind, like a backdrop of sorts. And then that's when I realized that we are up in the sky. We are suspended in the air, quite literally. We are up in the heavens. And the scenery was breathtaking. You know, this sunset kind of lighting, but it's not exactly that. It is the closest thing that I can use to describe how it looks around this platform, this flat platform, but that had the feel and the decor and everything like a courtroom. And I was watching this from the back of the room. So it's as if I had been placed at the back of the room so that I could see the entire space and its surroundings. So this couple, they held hands and they were standing, looking ahead of them so that their backs were turned to me. So from my perspective, I was seeing their backs and they were in the middle of the room, standing there and holding hands. And in front of them was a tall table in the likeness of a judge's table. And there was a man that was standing behind it. And this was the Lord Jesus Christ, the just judge. So the Lord was standing behind this table. So from my perspective, I was seeing the Lord face. So I was seeing his face, his front, right? But the couple, I was seeing their backs. I think that gives you an idea of how I was positioned in this particular scene. So I was observing the whole thing unfold. They took a step forward to stand directly in front of the judge, because at the beginning of the vision, they were just in the middle of the room. The table of the judge was far ahead, but they had not yet come to stand before the judge. So they began to step forward to come directly in front of the judge's table, and it was just the two of them. And as they were walking, they were strengthening the grip of their hand, right? Because you could feel that they were trying to muster inner strength. They had apprehension within them, and they were basically trying to find just the calmness, the courage to stand before the judge and to listen to what he was about to say. The tension in that room was palpable. And as I watched this scene, the Lord put it in my spirit to know that this is the final family census for the regathered Israel. After the regathering process will happen, each family or person who survived in the family would have to come forward in this way for the census that will record the final peoples and clans who made it in the end. And this is no surprise, right? We've read it all over the Old Testament, such census being taken or being being done in Israel, right? Like, for example, when after the decree of King Cyrus that the temple was to be rebuilt in Israel, many years after that, when it finally happened, you see that Ezra, in the book of Ezra, it is described that there was a census that was made, and all of the exiles of Israel all over the kingdom were called back, and they were counted, right, per father's house and per family tree, you know, and per clans and tribes and so forth. So this is what was happening in this dream, but this was in a different kind of setting. And I believe that the Lord put it in this setting so that we would know that there will be a legal process in the spirit that will happen, and also very much a legal process in the physical realm, right? And that the judge who will decide who qualifies and who doesn't is him, Jesus Christ, Yahweh. So as they stood there, when they moved forward, they gave their names to the judge. And when they gave their name to the judge, you know, looked through his paperwork. He had different papers in front of him, and he looked through them, and he found their files, and he looked at their files, and he read through their files, and he told them, "Your parents rejected me. Your family rejected me. They cannot come into Israel having rejected me. You have to understand this." End quote of the judge, of the Lord, because the judge was the Lord. They remained sturdy and focused, and they did not even speak back. They simply nodded in agreement with everything that the judge was saying. And then in this moment, as they were nodding in agreement with everything that he was saying, the sound inside the vision was turned off, was muted. And I began to hear the Lord now talk to me, watching this dream, this scene. The scene kept on going, but was muted. And this is what the Lord said. "Thus says the Lord, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." These are the exact words that the Lord began to speak to me as I watched this scene after the judge had told this couple that "Your parents rejected me, your family rejected me, they cannot come into Israel having rejected me. You have to understand this." And then when I looked back, because I know this scripture from Matthew chapter 10, and I realized that the Lord had dictated to me exactly the scripture of Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 to 39. He just spoke his word back to me. And in this moment, he's speaking it back to all of us. That even if it is 2,000 years apart, when he says something, he means it. When the Lord says something, he means it. Your pastors do not preach you about this verse. And if they don't preach you about it, it does not negate their validity. The Lord is speaking those words again 2,000 years later through this prophecy. That if anything is standing, anything is placed in your heart, in your life, above God, you are not worthy of him. And this couple was a prime example of that. It was just the two of them. They had no children with them, no siblings, no parents. They were the only ones who made it in their family trees. You see, this goes back to the 5% that we've been talking about. This is why there will only be 5%. Because people will reject God. They will not want to pay the price. They will not desire to be like this couple. That, Lord, even if it's just me in my entire family, I will choose you so that I can be worthy of you. So, when the Lord spoke this to me, as soon as he ended, his voice talking to me went away, and the sound within the vision was turned back on so that I could continue to listen to what the judge was telling the couple. And this is what the judge, which is still the Lord in the scene, right? This is what he told this couple. He said, because you have held onto me and have chosen me against anything or anyone else, you will be rewarded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm just excited about the Lord, okay? His goodness, his faithfulness. How can you not be? Anyways, let's continue reading. So, this is what he told the couple. And after, as he was saying this, or as soon as he stopped saying that, he took his king seal, right? You know, the seals that kings have? He took it. And he pressed it on these documents that were before him. And then he took the documents and he gave it to the couple, and he had this very proud expression on his face and a big bright smile. He was extremely proud of them that you did it. You endured till the end. The way he asked us in Matthew 24, endure till the end. This couple endured till the end. And the Lord told them, you will be rewarded for that. And we will begin with his citizenship in the new restored Israel. This is just the tip of the iceberg of your reward. But here it is. Take it. Basically, that was what was being done in this scene. And so, they were ecstatic. They took the documents and you could tell that they wanted to jump into each other's arms. They wanted to hug the judge. They wanted to hug anyone who would give them a hug. They could barely contain their excitement, but they were trying to keep their composure. You know, they were trying to, you know, when you're so excited, you want to scream, you want to shout of joy, but you're trying to keep it together. And the judge actually found this amusing. He started laughing. And they smiled back at him and they thanked him, and they were just in a secondary state of joy, pure joy. And they, when they thanked him and took the documents and were trying to stay composed and everything, but could not compose their joy, after all of that happened, they stepped aside so that the next family could come in and go through the same process. And this is where the vision ended, the dream ended. It was more of a vision, actually. It was not a dream because I was not asleep. And so I think that this vision is self-explanatory, right? But there are a few things that I think must be clarified so that we comprehend what the Lord is showing and what the Lord is expressing, so that when these things are happening, we would know that the Lord had told us that this was going to happen. So first of all, this dream is about the second exodus of the Lord's remnant back to the land of the promise. This prophecy reveals that it will include a few elements. The first element that it will include is that there will be a census of the final inhabitants of Israel. And the census will be done according to the fathers' houses and the clans or tribes of Israel and of the church, because the church, we'll get to that later. And this is no foreign thing. It is well in line with how the Lord has done it in the past. They did it in the desert. They will do it in the desert actually quite frequently. They will do a census to know the amount of people. They did it in Israel also frequently. So this will be no different. That's the first step. The first element that is being revealed in this prophecy, in this vision. The second element of revelation that the Lord, of information that we must capture from this, is that every person will undergo a process of being given citizenship in Israel. And if you listened or read the prophecy titled The Land, Journey to the Land of Milk and Honey, it was this same thing. There was this couple who had been traveling and arrived at the gates of Israel, and they were completely beat by the journey. They were starving for water. I mean, it was rough. They looked rough. And when they arrived at the gates, there were guards at the gate. And because they made it, it was only two people, a man and a woman. When they made it to the gates, there at the gates, they were given citizenship papers. So there will be a process of being given citizenship papers in Israel. And this process will not be determined according to human standards or perception. But this will be done according to the Lord's standards, to Yah's standards. He is the one who will decide that in the end, these are the people who deserve to receive the citizenship of my land, my holy nation. And it goes back to what he told the couple in the vision. He said, your parents rejected me. Your family rejected me. They cannot come into Israel having rejected me. You have to understand this. And he spoke that to that couple, but he's speaking it to all of us. If you are willing to walk that walk, but your family is not, they are going to go. They won't make it. They will be devoured by the process, the different processes in the tribulation, in the purging and the pruning that the Lord will undertake in Israel and in his church. As I said, this element of being given citizenship and it being just two people, you can read more about that or listen to that in the prophecy titled Journey to the Land of Milk and Honey. The Lord has been talking about this. And the Lord in this prophecy is still showing only a couple. The Lord is saying, even if it is just two people, from these two people, I will rebuild my nation, but I will not lower my standards. My standards of holiness and righteousness will not be lowered for anyone. Even if it is just two people who make it, I can work with these two, and I will. He will keep his every promise that he ever made, even if in the end it is only one couple who actually consists of the remnant. He will use that remnant and do what he promised, that he will multiply them, he will grow them, they will be like the sand of the sea. Grains of sand. You will multiply like grains of sand. He will multiply them. He has done it before and he can do it again. The third element that we must capture from this vision, from this prophecy, is the fact that there will be a legal process. This citizenship, yes, we are going to go through the different, excuse me if you're hearing noise in the background. Pardon me for that. Apparently there is a baby who is having a hard time. God bless their soul. There will be a legal process on the earth according to the Father's laws and his will. Okay? So, it will not be a fable. It is not something that is a spiritual hyperbole. It's not. It will be a tangible thing that will happen, and the entire world will be a witness to it. Those who have survived the tribulation will actually live in the promised land here on earth as citizens of the nation of Israel. Those who will withstand till the end will live as nation, as the nation, the holy nation of God. We will be regathered. We will be reestablished. We will travel back to the holy nation, that piece of land that was shown to our forefather Abraham. It is happening. And it is not in the afterlife. It is not when New Jerusalem comes out of the sky at the very, very end of Revelation. No. It isn't. This is not the afterlife. This is here on earth. Right. Even the afterlife, New Jerusalem comes out of the sky and is brought down to the earth, and then we dwell here with the Lord. It's always been about this place. So if you're singing, I'll go to heaven, please adjust. Catch up. Catch up that the promise in the end is that New Jerusalem will be reinstalled on this plot of land that the Lord created for us to have dominion over. That is going to happen in the end. It's not going to happen in heaven. That is the end game, if you can put it that way. But before that very end game of the New Jerusalem coming down, we will live in the holy nation with the Lord in this age, as the Lord said it, in this age. So the age of us being just humans on earth, this age, we are living, we are being regathered. The remnant will be regathered. The nations will still be around us. Why does it say that the nations will come to your shores and they will give you their wealth? If it is in the New Jerusalem, in some other part of it, then the nations will not be around. Those nations who are sinful will be in the lake of fire. But the nations will rebuild Israel. The nations will come and will bow to her. It is written. I words fail me to even count the amount of times this was told, spoke about. Every single prophet, near every single prophet of Israel, spoke about this at some point. Some of them spoke about nothing else. They had no other word in their mouth than this process in the end of the time. Right? Go and read the books of the prophets. It's in the middle of the Bible. You read through all of them. No prophet went a day. No prophet went out throughout their ministry without talking about this, apart from, we see it, just a few, but most of them, the majority of the prophetic books have this in them. The Lord will talk about this. The true prophets of God would address this. So, then there are other, the fourth part of this prophecy or vision that we must keep in mind is that the people who will go back and be given admission and citizenship into Israel will be both Hebrew and Gentile. These non-Israelites, or called the ones that the Bible calls the Gentiles, will be those whom are devoted to Christ, Christ lovers, God lovers, and those who will make it back in the end will be a mix of Israelite and Gentile who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and are co-heirs of salvation with him. This is what the Lord calls his church. Part of the church will be Gentile and part of the church will be Hebrew. And the qualification for being regathered to restored Israel, the qualification for that is being a true follower of Christ who has placed nothing else before him, who is worthy of him. The qualification is being righteous. It is not being an Israelite. Being an Israelite, it will not be enough. Being a Hebrew does not qualify you to see Israel. What qualifies you to see Israel is living a consecrated life to Christ and making those decisions through the trials and the tribulations that will show. That will be, those decisions will be the result of the testing, right? That will happen so that your belonging to Christ will actually be seen through the decisions that you make, the places that you go, the things that you say in that time. And that time is now. You have to start doing that today. Because if you're not building yourself up to stand till the end today, when the harshness, when the fire, the consuming fire, the refiner's fire that God himself will send, Yah will ordain these difficulties upon his church and upon his people, so that the people will be purged, and only those who have stood and withstood the test will make it back in the end. So if you are Hebrew, but you do not qualify as righteous in God's sight, so you refuse to accept Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, you refuse to walk according to the Father's statutes and laws, your seat will be given to a non-Israelite who does. Yep. Yep. This was extensively explained by the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Hebrews. And I invite every living member of True Israel to read that book in the Bible in great depth, because Paul was speaking to us. And there is another prophecy that I read, a proclamation actually, that I read that the Lord gave me 2 days ago. It is titled The Call Back of the Avenger, where the Lord talks about how he will avenge Israel and that Israel is vindicated and now it is time to be reconciled to him, and it is time. Please go and listen to that proclamation. Very important. Very, very important. So, there is also another prophecy that I am going to be reading actually right here, right now, after I am done with this prophecy. That is part of the second Exodus series, the series of visions that the Lord has been giving me about the process of being regathered back. I will read it. Look for it. Where the Lord says that the land is vacant. I already published it. The land is vacant. Israel, current Israel, in the Lord's book, Israel is vacant. It does not exist. It doesn't. To him, that land is virgin land. Virgin land, and he's calling for his to his people to come and receive their vacancies. The vacancies are open. The vacancies are there. They are available for everyone to enjoy. And he's calling us back to him. You can hear about that in The Journey to the Land of Milk and Honey. Now, the next thing that we must take into account when we listen or when the Lord gives such a vision, a prophetic vision, is that clearly the Lord does not consider the coronation of Israel as Israel, or else he would not be saying that vacancies are awaiting the people of Israel, that the Lord is proclaiming that we are watching a nation being wiped out before our eyes. They will all die. And that very fertile, vacant, fruitful, and blessed land remains. And he is calling to all those who will accept him and choose him to be their fortress, to be their strength, to be their Lord. He is calling to them to answer the call and to come and occupy those vacancies. That is all in the prophecy titled Journey to the Land of Milk and Honey. You can go and read more about that. So current Israel is who the Lord calls the synagogue of Satan. Those who pretend to be Jews but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. You can read more about that in Revelation 2 verse 9 and Revelation 3 verse 9. So this journey back to Israel will happen. The census will happen. The granting of citizenship in the new restored holy nation of the Lord will happen. And I, Elvira, have been sent as a messenger of Yah to proclaim it to all the nations. God will keep his word and fulfill it, just like he has promised from the beginning. And this generation is the generation with which he is going to do that. It is not going to be in 200, 300, 500 years. It is happening to us, with us. Please listen. This generation is going back to Israel. Are you hearing? Please open your ears and hear. This prophecy tells us that there will be a great price to pay for all who will choose the Lord Jesus Christ in these end times. For many of us, the separation from friends and family has already begun. For others, it is about to begin. Whilst for others still, they will have to be forced into life or death situations during the tribulation to decide if they will choose Christ or the world. The Lord is saying in this prophecy that the return to Israel will not be for everyone just because they are descendants of Israel or call themselves Christians. The return and the citizenship will be granted only to the most faithful believers in Christ. Yes, Israel will go first because it is Israel, it is the chosen people, right? But the qualification for it is being a faithful, devout believer in Christ who lives a consecrated, holy, and righteous life and who will not deny Christ. Even if they are to be killed for it, they are to be tortured for it. It is during this time of testing with fire that true Israel and the end times church will show the Lord, the world, who actually has been bearing fruit this entire time. Only those who are bearing fruit for the kingdom will make it. Only those who have made Jesus Christ their dwelling place and are willing to forfeit everything until even the members of their own household will make it. Please forgive everything you have been told about the rapture. There is no rapture of the church before the tribulation. There is no rapture of Israel before the tribulation. If there were, then our Lord would not say the following statement. He would not speak this statement out of his mouth. Okay, let's read the statement. Matthew 24. Verse 9 to 14, it is written, thus says the Lord, then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you. Where is the rapture? Where is it? Whereas we will be raptured up in the air and we will watch the world burn. Where? So you think the rapture that your fake, false teacher told you about will override what the Lord himself spoke? Let's continue the statement. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Deliver to tribulation, death and hate and persecution. Let's continue. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Many of your father will look at you and will hate you. Like, which child have I given birth to? Your friends will tell you that you are offensive, that the things that you tell them offend them. Actually, one of my friends, I won't even really call them a friend any longer because we were never friends. You see, this is how the separation will happen. You realize that you were never friends with many people. You were never equally yoked. There was never anything there. And this is the effect of choosing Christ above anything else, without compromise, without complacency. That friend of mine told me, what you're telling me is so offensive. What makes you think that I am not of God? I am of God. I know my Father. My God would not send people to hell. Listen. I told him, listen, whether you think so or you don't, it does not change the truth. Period. My God would not. Yes, your God is not the God of the Bible. You're worshiping an idol. So we can't really have a conversation here because we're talking about two different entities. You think your God is my God, but he's not. Because if he were, then the God that you believe in would actually be meaning the things that he says. You understand? Anyways, let's continue. The Lord says the following. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. So it is after all of this happens that then he returns in all his glory and the judgment and the new Jerusalem. So all of that. You understand? So we will go through this. We are going through it. And the Lord is showing us in this prophecy what will happen. What will happen to he who endures till the end. That is what we are seeing. We are seeing this person, these people who endure till the end, even when their entire families turned from God, they didn't. And what did the Lord say tell them? He told them, because you have held onto me and have chosen me against anything or anyone else, you will be rewarded. First of all, take the citizenship and walk into Israel. First step, but the reward is coming. Do you understand what the Lord is saying here? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. The gospel has not been preached in all the world yet. And the gospel will preach after all of this is happening. Of those who endure till the end. It is during this process, the process that he's talking about, they will deliver you to the tribulation, they will kill you, you will be hated. It is in this process that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world and be a witness to all nations. And the Lord actually showed me, gave me a picture of how this will happen, because there will be a time when crucifixion of Christians will be a real thing. The way Christ was crucified, we will be crucified. Hung on trees. He showed me. It was like a flash vision. And he's showing it to me right now as I'm talking to you again. He's bringing it back. Of someone being on the cross. Hung on the cross. Nailed there.
because they say that they believe in Jesus Christ. Many will be brought into these execution squares, is how the Lord showed it to me. Stood there with a hung, and then before they hang you, they will tell you, they will ask you, do you want to say anything? And there will be the Stephens of the end times. If you know what Stephen did just before they executed him, he had a whole sermon about the gospel. All of the Jews listened that day. All of Israel listened to the true gospel as this man was about to be killed because of his faith. And that is how this gospel of the kingdom, one of the ways it will reach the entire world, is in that way. Because in those days, everything will be televised. Everything will be on a screen. Even the deepest village that you think is not developed, it will be developed. It will have internet. It will have AI. AI will be ruling this entire earth. And as they rule the entire earth, they're going to computerize everything. So everyone, and because they want to make an example of the Christians, right, that claim to be Christian and so forth, they want to make an example. So they will make it a public spectacle, these executions. But what they don't know is that this has been proclaimed by the Lord himself 2,000 years ago that this would happen. And the Lord will use that not only to elevate his children, because martyrdom is an honor in the kingdom of God. Being a martyr is not something that just anyone will get to do. If you've been chosen to be one of those martyrs, there is a great reward for you. They have a specific section for them. And you can read more about that section in, I believe it is Revelation, if it's not Revelation 6, it is Revelation 7, but I'm not sure any longer. So the Lord will not only use those executions to elevate the reward and the position of his children, right? But he will also use that to proclaim the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, to the entire earth. So, you know, through all of this, Satan is just doing God's bidding. All of this was prophesied by himself when he revealed these things to Apostle Paul in Revelation, and when he revealed it also through the other prophets, because he's been talking about this since Isaiah. You see the end of the world being prophesied before the Messiah came. Prophets like Zephaniah, he has three books in the Bible, and the three books are about the end of the he prophesied nothing else. The end, when it pertains to Israel and Judah, is what Zephaniah prophesied. Why do we not read these books in church? Because the church is clueless, unprepared, extremely underqualified. Unfortunately, this is the truth. So, then we have this scripture in Zephaniah, the one I was just talking about. Zephaniah 3, verses 8 to 13. Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord. For the day I will stand up to testify, I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath on them, all my fierce anger. The whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. Then I will purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, my scattered people, will bring me offerings. You see, the Lord is talking about who the Lord qualifies as his people, are his worshippers. It stops being about just Israel. It starts being about his worshippers, his people. It continues, on that day, Jerusalem will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from you your arrogant boasters. Now he's saying that those people, that remnant, this is what they will be like when I'm finished with them. And it is this process of testing and purging that will do this work. It is through going through the difficulties and the persecutions that we will be transformed into what the Lord is speaking here. On that day, you, Jerusalem, will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from you your arrogant boasters. Never again will you be haughty in my holy hill, but I will live within you a meek and humble, the meek and humble. So those who boast, those who are arrogant, those who are blasphemous and all of, they will not make it. And it is not Satan who would have removed them. It is God who would have removed them. He said, I will remove from you your arrogant boasters. So if you're arrogant boasters, you're not part of the 5%. And he says, but I will live within you the meek and humble. So start working on that as you're hearing this. Go and repent and start working on your heart. The remnant of Israel will trust in the name of the Lord. They will do no wrong. They will tell no lies. A deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouths. They will eat and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. This is what the Lord is saying. Those who will make it, this is what they will be like. And he says that even beyond Cush, I believe that Cush today is Ethiopia. Beyond Cush, he's saying that those nations all the way out there in Europe, in the Americas, these places that we call Europe and Americas today, the Lord was saying that I will gather my worshipers. So being Hebrew, if you're not a worshiper of God, if you do not have these qualifications, you are not. He will remove you. He, the Lord, Yahweh, will remove you himself, just like he did to those in the desert. The entire generation that went out of Egypt died. They didn't see the promised land. He removed all of them. So this 5%, the reason why it is 5% and not 0% like it was in the desert, I believe is because we have the Messiah now. We have a better chance. So we went from 0% to 5%, basically. Because those who left Egypt, they did not see Canaan. They didn't. They died, all of them. It is their children who saw Canaan. The Lord is emphasizing that the remnant will be small. These 5% that he gave me is that he gave me this percentage. You can go to the prophecy titled Treacherous Nation to hear all about that. So the fruit that we must bear is this. Go and read it. Zephaniah 3. Go and read Zephaniah. Read the whole book of Zephaniah. It's just 3 chapters. You can sit in and half an hour. You would have read through it all and you can meditate on it. So, not everyone is called to be a martyr. And martyrdom is an honor. Right? So if you are not one of those who is called to be a martyr and you fit the 5%, the description he gave here, then welcome to new Israel. Welcome to restored Israel. For many of us, that fruit we've been talking about is martyrdom. For others, it is not. There are projects the Lord will tell you, you need to execute this project. I need it for the new Israel. I need it for the restored Israel. There are some of you, the Lord has been showing you already things that you should be doing. And you'll be doing it in hiding. No one will know. There will be no one to clap for you. You will have no platform. You will not be a pastor or a preacher. There will be no one to congratulate you. You will have to live off of obeying God and knowing that you're doing it for God. Period. You will work your entire life, sacrifice your entire life for this one thing that the Lord has asked you to do. You will do it all your life. No one will know that you are the one who was behind it. Only God will know. And that is what the Lord will call, you have produced good fruit. So those of you who are always after cheering, and adulation and popularity. You are part of the people that will be removed. How are you going to do when you will not be able to stand on a pulpit any longer? Where pastors will be arrested and killed. What will you do? How will you bear fruit for God? If for you, your fruit is going to church on Sunday. You see, you have to re-examine, shift your paradigm. It has to happen now. The shift in paradigm, it has to happen now. How many of you will be willing to pay the price? This is why I'm here. The Fruit Factory is here to prepare Israel and the End Times Church for what is up ahead, for this regathering process, for what will happen during the tribulation, that we will stand that 5%. I'm going to share with you, the Lord wants me to share this with you. When I was praying earlier today, I was praying for Israel. I was praying for her. I have done fasting programs for Israel, for our deliverance. Intense fast, intense prayer. And this morning I was just in my normal prayer time and I was praying for Israel and the Lord said, 5%. I said, what? He said, yes, 5%. I told you it's 5%. It is going to remain 5%. So if you want to optimize your prayer, pray for the 5%, not for all of Israel. Or else you're wasting your time and your energy. The 5% have been marked by me already. I know who they are. I know who will make it. So pray for them. Those are the people you should worry about. And those are the people I am bringing to your ministry. I'm not bringing all of Israel to your ministry. All of Israel cannot even stomach 5%, 10%, 2% of what you have to say. The End Times Church needs to wake up. Israel needs to wake up. Now I'm focusing on those 5%. If it's not you, you'll listen to this and you will dismiss it. And it's fine. Just dismiss it. No problem. So, we need to understand this principle of the qualification. There will be a qualification process. And Ezekiel 18, verse 5 to 9, has the following to say about the righteous man. Okay? Suppose there is a righteous man who does what is just and right. So first, he does what is just and right, right? He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of Israel. He does not feast with beasts of darkness and does not have an idolatrous heart, right? The next point, he does not defile his neighbor's wife or have sexual relations with a woman during her period. The Lord is saying here, he's sexually pure. He preserves his body. So you all who are shacking up, unshack. Unshack! If you're the 5%, start unshacking. Thank you. Next point, he does not oppress anyone, but returns what he took in pledge for a loan. Those of you who like to manipulate people, you know, there are expert manipulators in the church, expert manipulators, terrorists, emotional and mental terrorists. They know how to manipulate. They oppress you. They keep you under their thumb. Those people will be removed. And if that's you, if you manipulate your husband, your wife, you wear nice things and you walk around him to get him to buy, to pay things for you. Instead of just doing it to please, for the fellowship of your marriage. You manipulate him. You put things in his head so that he will think a certain way and give you the things you want. You are a witch. You are a witch. Men do the same. You withhold certain things. You withhold money here. You withhold to manipulate and keep your wife under your thumb. You don't need to do that to be a man. You have been deceived by your blue pill, red pill foolishness. Do this and she will submit. Do this and she will... No, you know, the standard is very simple. Just be like Christ. That's all.
Because the wife submits to her husband as unto the Lord. So if there is someone who is as unto the Lord in front of her, she will naturally, I'm telling you naturally, because it is God's order. Naturally, this woman will not disturb you. You will not need to say, submit to me. I am the man of the house. Look, if you have to say those things, you have failed already. Next point, he does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. You know, they're so Christians. Christians will give $1,000 tithe because they think they can manipulate God with money to be blessed, right? But they will walk past someone who is homeless. Walk past that person every day and never even give them a sandwich. This is wickedness. Who do you think you're lying to? You cannot lie to God. Your heart is dry. You have a desert in your heart. No compassion whatsoever. But you think you can manipulate God with gifts here to the church. Tithe. Yes, I'm going to tithe because Malachi says, yeah, right? Yet you are wicked. You rob people. You rob money at your job. You rob time from your employer. Yes, you rob time from your employer. You clock out before the time, clock in after the time. And then you say that you did your full 40 hours of work at the end of the week. You are a robber. Robbery. You will not see the end. You'll be removed. Some of you have clothes. Your closet, if you were to count how much you paid for every clothes, you would be at 400,000 euros. But you cannot take out 10 bucks and go to a shelter and give it to a woman so that she can buy milk for her child. You can't do that. But you will be saving to buy the latest Gucci. You have been deceived. Not only have you been deceived, but you will be removed if you do not go and repent right now and change that wicked, dry heart of yours. And then we have, he does not lend to them at interest or take a profit from them. He withholds his hand from doing wrong and judges fairly between two parties. Thank you, Jesus. He follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares the sovereign Lord. I know that half of you will drop off here and just say, look, I cannot take this. If you're dropping off here, good for you. But this is not my word. This is the word of the Lord. It's been in your Bible the entire time. But you've been a wicked person your entire life. You think that going to church qualifies you. It doesn't. It is what is happening in your heart that qualifies you. It is those things that the church cannot see. You see what I'm saying? That you cannot brag about to people. What you do in the dark, in the secret place, that is what will show. Is this person righteous or not? And God sees all of it. Sees all of it. You cannot hide anything from him. And as the pressure and the fire increases in these times, in these end times, we will start to see people's true faces. Because the testing comes to reveal the innermost parts of man's heart. The testing comes to burn away all the extra stuff so that the essence of someone will rise to the top. And when it does, you will be shocked at the people who have been around you the entire time. You will be shocked at yourself. You will shock yourself. You will do things and you will think, I did not know that I could do this. Yes, because you've never really been grounded in Christ. See, you think that going to church means that you're grounded in Christ. It doesn't. You think that sitting there and watching sermons on YouTube grounds you in Christ. It doesn't. Being grounded in Christ goes through the process of submitting to God, accepting him as the golden standard, then working every day towards that, walking up that hill every day. And as you walk up that hill, his word will begin to slice off all of the dirt. His word will begin to wash away all of the filth from you, from your character, from your mouth, from your thoughts, from how you think, from how you act. So that is how you become grounded. And it is going to cost you. It is going to cost you. Being grounded in Christ will cost you everything that you think you have. It will cost you even your money. Because he will take away that huge savings account that you look at and you're proud of. Very soon, that account will mean nothing. With that money that you've been saving your entire life, you'll be able to make, if you're lucky, maybe you'll be able to buy bread for a week with that money. And so you'll sit there and the true you will be revealed. Because that's when some of you will go and start prostituting yourselves. Mm-hmm. The true you will begin to show his colors, her colors. This is what the Lord told me. He calls it the great purge, where he's going to purge the church. Purge Israel. We have already stepped into the doors of the tribulation. It is not some future time. It is happening this generation. And you can read Matthew 24. You can read Revelation between Revelation 6 and 13. There are a lot of information there about the different seals, about the different bowls of wrath, about the beast system. And if you're doubting what I'm saying, read that and then ask yourself, isn't this what is starting to happen around us? A time is coming, and for some is already here, when even your spouse will turn against you because you belong to Christ. Your spouse will say, I cannot stand when you pray. Stop it. Stop it. And then you have to decide, will I stop praying because of this woman and this man? Or will I keep praying and it's just going to have the effects that it's going to have? If you're lucky, through your prayer, the Lord will rescue your spouse. If you're lucky, if that is what he had predestined for you, if that is his will. But many of your spouses are demonically possessed. Many of them are not even human beings. So as you're beginning to go closer to God, to take your prayer life more seriously and so forth, these people will start hating you. You'll see. Martyrdom is coming, and it's not going to begin as we've been talking about so far. It will start as a series of assassinations that will be done so subtly that people will think that their loved one just died, you know, out of natural causes, natural sickness or whatever. But it would have been a targeted hit. You can read more about that or listen to that in the prophecy titled The 1984 Manhunt. The Lord talks about it there, that they already have kill lists for Christians. So will you be able to stand the test? Are you actually going to be one of those people like that couple who will come forward and the Lord will say, because you have stood by me, you will be rewarded? Is it going to be you? Will you be able to choose the Lord when the entire world is hunting you down to kill you because you believed in him? When they will bring you to the square and hang you because you call yourself a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ? Many of you cannot even say no to partaking in sinful activities because of peer pressure. You cannot say no to going to the club. You are unable to say no to getting drunk, to smoking weed. You are unable to say no to listening to the latest secular artist, satanic artist. You are unable to say no to the latest get-together in the office to falsify the reports because you don't want to lose your job. You are unable to resist these teeny tiny little insignificant things of every day to keep yourself righteous and pure in God's sight. What are you going to do when that time comes? when the fire, the refiner's fire starts burning to ravage everything that is not of God, what are you going to do? What will you do when it is your children who failed to, to whom you failed to teach the true, robust gospel of the kingdom? When they are the ones who will call the police and say, hello, mom is praying. I'm hearing her pray and worship right now in the bedroom. Come and get her because her praying is disturbing me. Your child will do that to you. What will happen? Are you ready now for that time? Will you be ready then? Will you? Will you be standing in front of the judge to receive those papers? Will you? This is where this prophecy ends. And before I wrap this up, I would like to invite you to subscribe to The Fruitful Report, which is a weekly newsletter in which every Tuesday I am going to be sending you a recap of all of the prophecies that were published the week before. Because it does happen quite often that I will prioritize publishing the prophecies on the website beforehand, and sometimes recording it in broadcast will take some time. And the Lord made me. It is God. This was not my initiative. This is Yah who said, you need to create a newsletter. These people need to be remaining up to date with everything that I am saying. Because if you've noticed the nature of these prophecies, the Lord will give a prophecy. And then in many of these prophecies, he provides instructions to his church, his instructions to his people. And you do not want to miss those instructions. Because like in the case of the 1984 prophecy, these are matters of life or death. You do not want to miss what the Lord is saying. So if you want to subscribe and receive the newsletter, nothing else is sent, okay? I'm not going to send you random Bible verses, encouragement or whatnot. No, it's called The Fruitful Report because it is just going to be a report, a list of all the published prophecies of the week before, so that you can check and see if you've been up to date or if you, what you still have to need to read or to listen to, so that you're keeping up with what the Lord is saying. And to subscribe to that, you can go to thefruitfactory.co/report. thefruitfactory.co/report. I have put that link in the description bar. And I will also link in the description bar the different prophecies that I have mentioned in this broadcast so that you can check them out for yourself. So, thank you for tuning in today. And I do hope that you are going to take heed of the things that the Lord is talking about in today's prophecy. And you're going to sit down and start asking yourself very serious questions. I hope that you will open your heart and receive the truth for what it is, which is the word of God. And ask yourself and discuss these things with your family, with your wife, with your husband. And until then, I will talk to you in the next broadcast. Thank you. Goodbye.